Fantastic. How many of you have just met someone in your life, you know, and you instantly sort of have a connection? Just there's no issue with communicating. You just connect with them. You just feel like, hey, this is my tribe. These are my people. This is my brother. This is my sister. I mean, isn't that a great connection when you have one like that? That's a God-given thing. That's not a natural thing. That's somebody, God connecting you with people that can encourage you, that can you can encourage them, that you can bless them, they bless you. But you just enjoy being together, enjoy hanging together. Well, that's what Andrew Cabal is to me. Pastor Andrew is amazing. Yeah, he's an amazing guy. He's fun to be with. He's fun to hang with. I said in the first service, and I thought, well, I hope that went over okay. But I just said, he's an ordinary guy that moves in really extraordinary love and power. And Pastor Andrew's had an opportunity to preach all over the world many times. And he's really, of late, really hitting all the Hillsong conferences around the world. And just an amazing, amazing voice in the body of Christ that we have right in our C3 family. I want you to give a big Dallas welcome to my friend, Pastor Andrew Cabala, the man of God. Love you, baby. You go for it.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's enough for me. Let's give it up for Jesus and give him a big, big clap and a thank you as well. Can we do that? Isn't he good? Amen. Oh, wow. It's so good to be here in sunny Dallas. And where else would you rather be? It's my favorite city in America. And the reason is because Pastor Joe and Nancy are here. And wherever they are, it's going to be good. And I said to Joe, I said, if God would let me, I'd move tomorrow to America. I love America. And I do feel a very strong connection here. And, you know, your pastors are so generous and kind and such big thinking people. And there would be few churches in the world that would spend a weekend believing for your miracle. And but I just thank God for Pastor Joe and Nancy because they really do want you to win in life and be blessed and for your story to be the best story it possibly can be. And, you know, I know that Pastor Joe and Nancy are people, kind of people, if you know what I mean. They love people. And I think that's the best pastor you can possibly have. And we need to honor Pastor Joe and Nancy and thank them for their faith and generosity. Could you help me do that? Thank you for being my friend. One of the great miracles that they're my friend. And I like that. I'm not sure if Pastor Joe mentioned, but I am married, and that normally disappoints a few people, I'm sure. And I look in the mirror, so I know what you've got to deal with. And but you know what? It is funny, you know, because I really did punch above my weight when I married Janine. Janine is a phenomenal woman of God, and I asked God, I said, you know, like, because often people look at me and Janine, and I can see them trying to figure out, you know, like, has he got money, what's it all about? But I asked God, I said, God, how did I get Janine? And he said, Andrew, it's because you gave while you're younger, you tithed while you're younger, which makes sense to me, because I actually gave 20% in tithe, so that's why I got a little bit better than most, and if you're sitting beside a 10%er, well, that's your fault. And you get what you pay for. But I found out after I've been married to Janine for a while that she told me that she never gave. And so some of you are still figuring that out. Okay, well, but it's good. It's good. I've got two beautiful boys, a 17-year-old. His name's Samuel, and he's a great young man of God, and he's an athlete. And last week, before I came to America, I went to his athletics carnival, which is like for the equivalent of like all of Dallas. And he was age group champion. He won the 100, 200, 400, 800, high jump, all in the same day. And he's obviously got my genes, and so I'm very proud of Samuel. He's also age group champion for swimming and age group champion for cross country as well in his region. And so we are taking CVs right now for marriage. So I'm trying to hook them up, and so just post them in. And he wants to do an internship in America. I'm happy to send him. And because I think one of the America's got a great culture of leadership, and to be a part of the C3 culture here would be a huge blessing for him. My son Jonathan, who's 14 years old, he's a young, great young man of God, said to me a few weeks ago, he said, "Dad, I've got big trouble at school." I was like, "Oh, okay, you got bullying. Well, you know, what's going on?" He goes, "No, Dad, I'm too popular." And I said, "Oh, what does that look like?" He goes, "Well, I've got four girlfriends at the moment." I said, "Four?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "What do you do with these girlfriends?" And he says, "Nothing." And I said, "Well, that's just good. Just keep that up till you're 26 and you'll be fine. And do nothing with that girlfriend." Okay, but it is great to be here. Honestly, this is the house of God and the house of miracles. Tonight, we're going to spend a lot of time praying for sick people and believing God for that. But I want to talk to you about today in this time that we've got about his presence. His presence really does change everything. And I love that even when I came here today and walked into this auditorium, I think I was talking to Robert or one of the team, and I said, "This is amazing. I can feel God's presence just in this room." And as the worship began, I could feel the power of God come into this auditorium. And Luke 5:17, it says, "One day," everybody say, "one day." "One day." Isn't it true that one day can change everything? I mean, you can walk into that doctor's happy. He knows what I'm talking about. And then one little whisper from the doctor and everything can change. But it's the same in the house of God. That when you come into the house of God, one touch, one whisper from him can shift your whole life. Isn't it amazing that one prayer can change your eternity? The 1 minute you're not going to heaven, and now you are. A prayer. Like, if I was God, I would make that way more complicated. Like, you'd have to give $1 million or to get to heaven, or at least pray 1,000 hours, or give 1,000 hours in working in a charity or something like that. He goes, no. Let's just get connected. Let's just have a relationship, and that'll be enough. I'm amazed that one prayer can change your whole world. The 1 minute you're in a wheelchair, now you're walking. The 1 minute you've got cancer, now you're healed. Prayer has power, and that is a really great thing. And they always happen in moments, in a day. And a touch, a whisper from God can change your whole life. And that's what we're believing for today. This is one day Jesus was teaching. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. And they had come from every village of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord, ever say the power of the Lord? The power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on the mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking. Hello, because he is God. So sneaky. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Get up and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them and took what he'd been lying on and went home praising God. And everybody was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen a remarkable thing today." It's his presence that makes the difference. You know, it's I love, you know, reading the stories and the Gospels. But I always kind of thought it was odd that, you know, when he was just walking down the road, the people just didn't get healed. Do you know what I mean? Because he was Jesus. You know, like people, you know, you walk in a room, everybody got healed. But actually, even like there are moments that Jesus walked in timing that he would have times where he'd prophesy, cast out demons, pray for sick people. The presence of God had a flow and a seasonal kind of operation. And right here is the power of the Lord to for to heal the sick people, when he walked into that room, Jesus was like, "Ah, I think somebody's going to get healed." He knew that the father wanted to heal somebody in that room that day. And the presence of God is a beautiful thing. It's like oil. It makes things just run smoothly. It's just the place you want to be. I said to my worship team, Pastor Joe, I said, "I don't really care how you sing." I said, I haven't got a great voice myself, but I said, "I don't really care how you sing." I said, "But I do care that the presence of God falls in every meeting. Because we need to connect our people to God, to worship Him. It's not just slick guitar playing or how the drums look or sound. It's the presence of God falling in that meeting. And as that beautiful worship happened today, I could feel the presence of God just falling in that meeting. That's the goal of every worship team. It's not to sing a beautiful song, but the presence of God would fall in the meeting so the people can connect to God. It's the presence of God. The opposite's true sometimes. Like, I've walked in situations and I've felt the non-presence of God, like, highlighted. You know, have you ever kind of walked into a room and you're like, "Ooh, that feels uncomfortable," because it's like you've watched a horror movie or something like that. Not that I would ever do that. But sometimes I've walked into, like, rooms, especially in hospitals, and you're just kind of like, "Ooh, that feeling of yuck," because the spirit of death is in that room. Or that feeling's a demon, actually. Recently I was in a situation like that. I was in a conference, I was speaking, I was one of the guest speakers, and I was getting just taking notes on my phone, and I got this text message saying, "Pastor Andrew, would you immediately come to the hospital in Sydney, because this little baby is terminal," and I turned to the host, and who was running the conference, and I said, "Can I slip out for 2 hours, and I'll come back?" And they released me, and so my driver took me to the hospital. And when I walked into that hospital, they told me that the baby only had like hours to live. And I walked in, there was only like two people allowed in this little isolation unit where the baby was. I've never seen so many tubes come out of a baby. It's like you can't even see the baby. There were so many patches and things going on, this little dot of a thing. And when I walked in that room, I almost vomited, because it could feel like a demonic oppression in that room, that feeling of death. Have you ever felt like that? I don't know if you have, but it's not a great feeling. And but I knew there was a fight going on for this little baby's life. And so I said to it was me and the mum and the nurse. I said, we'll begin to pray. So the first thing I did is I pulled out my cell phone. And I put on some C3 worship, because the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. And even that, you can change an atmosphere in a room. Just a simple thing is just pulling out your phone and just putting on worship and just letting that just permeate the room. Let the praises of God just fall in that place. I began to speak in tongues, just go, speak in tongues for about 30 minutes, quite a long time. The nurses, you know, like wondering what's going on. But you know what? When you need a miracle, who cares what the crowd thinks? Who cares what people think? If you need a miracle, you're going to push through and do something. I'm there. They've got these little curtains around every cot. Do you know what I mean? Like these little curtains sort of thing in the ICU. There's more than one baby in this room, you know, like over here and over there and over there. And as I began to pray, the curtains begin to move. And there's no windows open. There's no air conditioning pushing through. But as the presence of God fell in that room, even the curtain, you could feel the atmosphere, the spirit of death leaving and the power of God falling. We prayed for this little baby. I couldn't even put my hand on the baby because it was in like a little glass enclosure sort of thing. But I just put my hand on the glass and said, "In Jesus' name, this baby's going to revive, be healed, and it's going to be a great story." It was only a few weeks later, we were in church and we were dedicating that baby to the Lord. And we said, "God, aren't you the God of miracles? Aren't you the God who heals? Everything can turn. Everything can turn around." And friend, it's His presence that makes a difference. There's only one God. There's only one person who died on the cross for our healing and for our salvation. It all happened on the same day. That one day when we can give our lives to Christ, the same thing happened because it says, by his stripes we are healed. And that beating, the whippings, all those things that he took was for a reason, friends. It's for our healing. And so we accept salvation and we accept healing because what Jesus did on that day. It's his presence that makes a difference. You know, it's a wonderful story, isn't it, about these four friends who had a friend who was paralyzed and they decided to bring him to church. You know, isn't it true? It's great to have great, great friends in your life. Part of my story is that I had leukemia at the age of 13 to 18 years old. I was brought up in a very traditional church background in Catholic Church. Catholic Church was awesome. I knew about God and heard about God. But, you know, in Catholic Church, God didn't really bother with the congregation. You know, like the guy in the front, the guy in the dress, he kind of got the download and he kind of told you what was going on. Who knows what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, that's how it was for me. And I'm the youngest of eight in my family. And so, you know, like my dad, he'd smack you if you talked in church. Like, he would think this place was like a rock concert. You know what I mean? Like, people walk in with their coffee and like somebody dancing up the front. I mean, it'd be sin or something. But back in the day, it was like that. But I thank God for those, for my upbringing, because I always knew that God was real. I had no doubt in my mind that if God, like you asked me, if God, you know, if I said, hey, he's definitely real. But I just didn't think that God was really interested in me, like having a relationship with me. That would be a new revelation. And I was at school, and I was kind of like the naughty kid, because if you're a little bit sick, nobody really teases you. If you're a little bit sick, people tease you. But if you're dying sick, nobody can tease you, because who's going to tease the dying kid? That's awkward, isn't it? And so I was like the dying kid. I had no hair and I wore a little cap and I'd go to school in and out of school when I felt like it. And I had four brothers. When I was 15 years old, I was smoking drugs with two of my school teachers at school, getting drunk most weekends, just through my brothers, you know, just trying to look after me, you know, babysitting, but they give you drugs and alcohol. Good family, right? And so it was a little bit crazy. And so I was like the naughty kid in school. I had my full license when I was 15 years old. And then in New Zealand, it changed, you know, to like, had to have like a learner's license. But I was the only person in my year with a full license and a car. How good is that? A cocktail for disaster. And this girl at school, she was really pretty. Her name was Lisa Mortimer, who I really liked, had a little crush on. Invited me to a youth group, and I thought, hubba dubba doo, I'm going. And so why wouldn't you go, you know what I mean? Because I thought she was asking me on a date. And then after 6 weeks, the pastor says, do you want to become a Christian? It's a little Presbyterian youth group. And I said, oh, I'm already a Christian. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I go to church every Sunday. And he said, well, just because you go to McDonald's every day doesn't make you a hamburger. And it's just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. I was like, cuckoo. I thought he was crazy. You know, like, because we got told if you went to Mass, basically, you're in. You know what I mean? You could live whatever you wanted, you know, live however you want, do whatever you want. But if you came to Mass, basically, you're in. And so I was like, well, he said, well, have you ever prayed a prayer asking God into your life? I said, well, not really. And he said, well, we can do it right here. I've got no problem with prayer. I was praying, you know, from the earliest age, I'd say, Our Fathers, Hail Marys. And I'd pray that, even just part of my own world, just like, God, this is what I would do. And so he said, well, just pray this prayer. And so I said, God, I come ask you to come into my life. Forgive me for any wrongs today. I'm asking you to help me. I'm amazed how that one prayer changed everything. Like, it just blows me away that as I look back in those years, and I just thank God for that little girl, Lisa, Joe, because like, how brave was she? The only Christian I knew in my school to invite the naughtiest kid in school to go to a church event. And I said, yes. And because of that, my kids are saved. It's like, just to listen to one good friend, to listen to those pastors, to help me, to lead me. Pastor Joe is trying to help you when he says, come to a connect group. You're like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm coming. But he's trying to be a good friend. He's saying, hey, this is going to actually help you. in this moment? To come to church every week? Why church? What's this all about? Because we're trying to help you. We're trying to help your kids, your grandchildren. Your life's going to be blessed. Your work's going to be blessed. Everything's going to change because you're listening to the right people. And just to do that, I'm thinking about this little girl leading me to the Lord. Now to marry Janine, wow, it's amazing. A Christian, beautiful woman of God, two beautiful children, to have the largest youth ministry in our nation's history. How did that even happen? Last 10 years to see over 100,000 people come to Christ just in Sunday services. Would that even happen? See 58 people, you know, walk out of wheelchairs. See over 100 people who are terminal riding into her office saying we've been healed now. Who would have thought that just listening to one friend could change my whole life, my eternity? I'm going to get to heaven because of that girl. Thank God for Lisa. You can be that person. That's the truth of it. That's the thought about it. It's like somebody saved you. Somebody invited you to church. And for us to bring somebody into the house of God, into the house of miracles, I mean, how amazing is that? And we've forgotten that thought that, you know what, we can be a friend to somebody that who needs a miracle. And I just love that America is just so open to God and to people's lives. And, you know, I was at a business thing at this conference, and, you know, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne hosted a business thing. There'll probably be 700 people in that room. And they were like, the first person I met was a billionaire. And I shook his hand and said, hey, you know, I didn't even know he was a billionaire until somebody told me afterwards. And, you know, here's the billionaire. This other guy has just sold his company for $50 million, and all this kind of people talking around. So I'm getting quite excited about how God was moving in all these people's lives. So afterwards, I was like, man, this is awesome. So it's just, you know, I don't know anybody. So I went up and shook this guy's hand. Hey, how you doing, mate? He goes, oh, that's so, yeah, good. And I said, isn't it amazing that one prayer can change everybody's life? And he looked at me like, what do you mean? And I said, every person on that stage prayed a prayer of salvation. They had all one thing in common. They all love God. And he goes, wow. He goes, yeah, that's right. And I said, you know, do you go to C3? And he goes, no, this is my first time to like any church meeting. And he's a chef. He runs like five big hotels, and he's the top dog chef. And I said, mate, I said, you can pray that prayer today, asking Christ to come into your life. He said, oh, that'd be really great. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I'd like to do that. Can you help me out? And I said, yeah, sure. And so right there and then, I prayed for him. He's crying his eyes out. I said, why are you crying? He said, I'm so happy. I said, really? I said, I don't know what to do when boys cry. And so I was like, okay, get better. And but isn't it amazing? The people are just open to God and open to that connection. We can be that good friend to them. You know, it's fantastic. You know, these guys brought him into the presence of God. And, you know, could you imagine, say, coming to church, four of them picking them up, you know, like boom, 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 coming to church. It's been like, took half an hour to get there. And I wasn't really even sure where he was going. Sometimes you have to take people to a destination they don't even know it's good for them yet. Like that story, that lady, I love that story. And somebody said, hey, listen, come to a connect group. And the miracle was there for her. But she didn't know it was good for her until she arrived. And so they, you know, got this guy, you know, and then they get to church and it's full. It's awkward, isn't it? 6 o'clock service in C3 Trinity. It's full. And so they probably have a prayer meeting saying, God, 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 what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. Looked at the roof. Yeah, roof. If I was a paralyzed guy, right then I wouldn't be happy. They probably just gagged him, you know, shut up. And when you're paralyzed, you've got no choice. One, two, throw him up on the roof. And then they start opening the tiles. Remember that? Like, yeah, I'm putting the tiles. If That happened, friend. That's what happened. Can you imagine, like, Jesus having communion and, you know, the dust going into the communion cup now, and it's getting awkward, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, these people are opening it up. I reckon it would definitely be the young adults or youth ministry people doing that. Like, there's nobody else. Like, these are young people. And they always get the blame. And then, you know, like, right in front of Jesus. Or the four guys, awesome! High five, high five, high five. Laughing, going, yeah, that's freaking awesome, awesome. Everybody else looking out. If that happened in Trinity Dallas, Joe, tell me if I'm wrong, we wouldn't be excited about it. We've just done the renovation a year ago, and some idiot is on the roof. I know there's guns in Dallas. Like, it'd be a different story, friend. It could be different. It might have been different. Who knows what would happen? But we wouldn't be excited about it. And these guys are right in front of Jesus. Now, I told you at the beginning of the service that Jesus was looking for the miracle. All through service, you'd be thinking, who is it? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? You? It's like, it's awkward. I don't know who it is. And then it's like, dad delivers him on a platter. Make it really obvious. Jesus, this is the guy. Really? Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then Jesus looks at the friends, look at all the teenagers laughing, and he says, because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. The first time in the history of the world, somebody else's sins are forgiven because of somebody else's faith. Never before had it been done. Before or since, a miracle had happened. Their soul was saved because somebody believed. What did they believe? They believed if I can just get them in the presence of God, something would happen. You see, friends, it doesn't matter how you come into his presence. You just need to come. I mean, you may be a woman at a well, just pouring out some water, and then along comes Jesus, and a miracle can happen for you. You may be blind from birth, getting spat in the face, and a miracle can happen for you. You may be a prostitute lying in the dirt, and a miracle can happen for you. You may be a leper with no hope, and the miracle can come with you. A person sneaking into church with a withered hand, and the miracle can come to you. You can be a military man asking for a miracle on the behalf of a friend, and a miracle can come to them. You can be a woman, 12 years of bleeding, friends. Not thinking that God would touch them, not thinking that God would even speak to her. So she comes up behind him and touches his robe, and a miracle would come to her. You see, God is trying to illustrate, it doesn't matter how you come into the presence of God. You may be lowered through a roof. You may have walked in for the very first time, but you're in the room. You're in the moment where God could do something for you. If we only believed, come on, church. If we only believed, if I can just get my friend in the presence of God, something could shift for them. If we only believed, if I could get them to let them hear the worship, something could shift for them. If we only believed that one prayer could change their whole world, if we believed again. You see, the devil says that he comes to rob, to destroy, to kill, to do all these things, but God would only have come to, that you would have life and life in all of its fullness. Who told you that prayer didn't have power? Who told you that? Who sold you that lie? You've got to know it's the devil. Who told you that church was a preference? A preference. That we decide if we come into the house of God on the whim of the weather or a sporting fixture. But realizing that this is the house of miracles. That everything can change now. Everything can turn. These people believed, if I can just get him in the presence of God, something could turn for him. And Jesus addresses the first priority of his life. He said, friend, your sin is forgiven. Your sin is forgiven. And Jesus gets upset because the Pharisees and the teachers, the religious people, So who can forgive sin but God alone? And Jesus knew what they were thinking because he was God and said, hey, listen, just to prove a point, get up and walk. Why would Jesus say that when he knew that the miracle was there for healing? All service, he knew he was going to have to heal somebody, but he ignores the obvious and addresses the first priority because he knew that you can get to heaven paralyzed, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. You can get to heaven with cancer, you can get to heaven with all sorts of sickness, but you can't get to heaven without knowing Jesus. Religion says that the easiest place to backslide, let's say it this way, is when you surround yourself with spiritual activity, having the feeling of godliness but no relationship with God. We criticize other churches because their music is different. We look at them and we think the priest is not being able to connect. But just because we've got fancier worship, different kind of preaching, doesn't mean that we, the people, are different. That we can walk into church and we can walk out of church and we don't know the Lord. In fact, the Bible would say it this way. Many say to me on this day, do you not prophesy in my name, drive out demons in my name, perform many miracles in my name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And so he's highlighting that religious activity doesn't give this relationship. He wants to know that you're connected to him. And he says to the man, just to prove that I am God, one of the worship, the keyboardist could come. Just to prove that I am who I say I am, get up and walk. Could you imagine? His legs were strong. First time in 20 years, he could feel his feet. His knees, now his hips. Could you imagine him coming alive? All of a sudden, everything's changing now. Everything's turning around. Picks up his mat and goes home. Everybody says, we've seen a remarkable thing. You know, last weekend, I was at Michael Bishop Pitts's church. Here I am just praying. I didn't even see this lady really. It was just on my peripheral. And as I just walked past, we just prayed for somebody who was busted up, that couldn't move their neck, bent down on stage. Or pain, all manner of kinds of pains. And we're praying, bang, she's healed. And there's like 500 people on this altar call. So we're praying for a lot of different people. And then there's the lady in a wheelchair. I don't know why. I wasn't trying to show off or anything. I just kind of had like a, you know, when your brain leaves your body sometimes, it's that, you know, like, I just said, come on, sweetheart, you'll be fine. And I just picked her up and we began to walk. Well, I didn't know she hadn't walked for like 10 or 15 years. And like people were like screaming and clapping. And I'm going, what happened? And they said, no, she's like walking. And I go, oh yeah, amen. And I said, like getting kind of. And then all of a sudden the power of God just fell on that meeting. I'm kind of feeling that like 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be praying for people. And I say to my church, I don't like saying that, Pastor Joe. My church, because we just started a church 10 months ago, so I can say that now that I'm a senior pastor, kind of a big deal. And no, but it's good, isn't it? You're allowed to have a little bit of pride in your church, and of course it's not my church, it's God's church, but just having a bit of fun. But I say to our church, when's the last time you're honest with God? Really, all of this, don't you think, Robert, is just us being honest with God? Just like this whole thing. We're just saying, like, if you're just honest with God, you're just way ahead of the game. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He just wants you to do life with him. And he'll help you. If you try to hide the thing that's broken, he can't fix it. But if you give God the thing that's broken, wow. Here's the miracle starting to happen in their lives. And before we, I want to just set this up for tonight. For today, we'll pray today. But I want to set this up for tonight. Because sin separates us from God. And we know his mercy is new for us every single day. But We want the miracle, but we need the miracle in us. He's got a name. It's called Jesus Christ. When those two things converge, I'm telling you, it's limitless what God can do in your life. When I gave my life to the Lord, a 15-year-old, not fully knowing or understanding how powerful that prayer would be, but regardless of my ignorance, God still showed up. A whisper, a touch, one day, one prayer, everything can change. Who told you that that wouldn't happen? It's not God. It says, by his stripes we are healed. He's a God of miracles. Not miracle, miracles. Many, many miracles are required in our life. And so we open our hearts to God. Say, God, I'm honest. So right now, why don't you just close your eyes and just ask that question to your soul today. Am I in relationship with God? I reckon that's an honest prayer. That's an honest prayer. It's just you and God. And you know, I know that God will talk to you just like that, just straight away. Sure, there may not be an audible voice booming down from heaven, but there will be a knowing, a prompting inside your soul. In fact, many of us already know, even before you bowed your head, where you stood before God. And let God just talk to you. And as you're talking to him, let me pray for you at the end of the prayer, just where you are. I just want you to slip up your hand if you're saying, Andrew, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord, or perhaps for the first time, praying a prayer, asking Jesus to come into my life. And even as you're watching online and on Facebook and on the app, oh, you can do this as well. So let me pray for you. God, I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, second time, maybe visiting from another church, but they're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not really in relationship with him. Not like you're talking about. I'm not talking about you missed your quiet time last night. I'm talking about when you look inside your soul, you know that you're away from him. But something has to shift for you. Or maybe you're saying, Andrew, it is a wrong relationship that's separating me from God's sin. Maybe a secret sin that nobody else would even know about. But we've learned today that God sees everything. And so, God, we're asking that we could be free from that. Or maybe you're here, you're saying, Andrew, if I was to face death like you had to when you were a teenager, if I was to walk out of church today and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. But would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have an assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend. If you're in one of those categories, you're saying, Andrew, include me in this prayer, asking Jesus to come into my life. I want you to lift up your hand just right now so I can see who I'm praying for. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The very top as well. See their hands as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Something has to turn. Something has to shift for me. Come on, when's the last time you're honest with God? If you can't be honest with God, how is this going to work? Why wouldn't you? If you knew how good it was to give your life to God, you'd run to the altar, you'd run to the front. It's so wonderful. Thank you at the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me. Something's turning. Something's shifting for me. Who else today? Thank you, sweetheart. Who else today? Amen. So many hands. Everybody, put your hands down just for 1 second. You know, I just know that there are other people, and maybe you're just struggling a little bit just to lift your hand. In fact, lifting your hand doesn't make you a Christian, actually. But I just think it's a sign, isn't it? It's like saying, God, here I am. Just it's a declaration. You know what I mean? It's saying, I believe this. This is something special. God is going to give you something good. Why wouldn't you give God this chance? And what I'd like to do is, in just a moment, maybe you lifted your hand or maybe you didn't, but in a moment, I want to give one more opportunity to do it. And I'm going to ask every person that lifted their hand, or maybe they hadn't, but you need to do it one more time in just a second. I'm going to see those hands. And because I want you to know that you're seen, and I'm going to count those hands. And the reason for that is because Jesus is counting, and I want you to know that this day is different from every other day. Every other day in church, I want you to know that God sees you today. So come on, right now, one more time, just lift your hands all over this place. You want to pray, rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to just lift it. I'm going to count. I'm going to start on the right-hand side just to let you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. At least 36 people. Come on, let's give God a big, big hand even just for doing that. I'm proud of you. It's amazing. Amazing. Pastor Joe, I think, can we pray for these people? We should? Okay. Well, do you know what? I tell my church, I'm smiling when I say that. I say, you know, sometimes this is a bigger deal than we give it credit for. And I just would like, and Pastor Joe's very kind, just to take a minute just to pray for you. And just to ask the Holy Spirit just to touch your life and just to pray this prayer of salvation with you. If you've got a friend or a family member, they can come with you and stand with you and support you. And I say to my team, I said, listen, when people come, I said, why don't you just turn to somebody? Because if you're new, you don't need to come down by yourself. You've got a friend sitting with you often. Just smile. Go to show your teeth to do that. And I know that Dallas is a very smiling city. And say, hey, listen, if you want to come, I'll come. And I'm going to stand at the front. I want to meet you. And we're going to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray for your miracle. So why don't we all stand? And let's give a big, big clap as people come. I'll wait for you as well. If you want to come from the back as well, just slip out of your seat and just come to the front. I want you to come. Come, come, come. Come on, turn to somebody, would you? Come, 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 come. I want you to come. Just slip out of your seat. Just come and stand in the front. I want to shake you by the hand and say, thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Good job, mate. Come on, ask somebody, would you? Come on, thank you. Don't go anywhere. Just come and stand here. Just come and stand here. Come on, there's 36 people, so I'm going to wait for you for a little bit. Good job. Come, come. If you want to come, come. If you want to come. If you want to come, come. Amen. All right. That's all right. It's only my third or so time, so you don't know that I was being serious. What I can see, what you can't see is, you know, everybody's doing really good clapping, very good clapping. There's a few woo-woos there as well, so that's very good. But what you got to do, you got to smile. You got to smile. You got to show your teeth. You turn to that person. Say, do you want to come? And then they go, oh, thanks for asking. And then they come with you and stand in the front and receive their miracle. But listen, this is the truth. If you knew how good it was, you'd run to the front. Yeah. Somebody told you that prayer is not powerful. That's what I'm telling you. Somebody told you, and it wasn't God. If you knew how good prayer was, you'd run to the front. So I want to give you an opportunity one more time. We're already in the first service. We had people who were healed, received their healing, received their miracle. And I want you to just turn to somebody. Come on, friends. Just turn one more time and let's give a big clap as they come. I want you to come. If you can come, I want you to come. If you knew how good it was, you'd run. Honestly, thank you. By the way, thank you. Thank you. If you want to come, just come. Just slip out of your seat. We're a family, friend. You've got nothing to lose. This is the family of God. If you can't be honest here, we're stuck. Come on. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands on our heart. Let's pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer today. Let's pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I'm asking you into my life. As my Lord and Savior, I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world, take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. Let me pray for you. Come on, stretch out your hands to these beautiful people. God, I thank you, Lord, that a miracle is going to happen. Can some of the leaders come and just stand behind these beautiful lives? And God, we just pray, Lord, that today is going to be a great day of salvation, a great day of breakthrough, a great day of miracles. God, we thank you, Lord, that they're coming into the family of God. Father God, coming into that place of miracles in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you too, Father, in the name of Jesus. A miracle, let a miracle, let a miracle fall. Everything turning, everything changing now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord. The power of God, let it fall, let it fall. A fresh fire fall in this life in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, for your miracle working power in Jesus' name. God, thank you for every hand that was lifted today. God, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. The power of God, fall, let it fall, let it fall. Bless these lives. Fill these lives, Father God. This is the house of God. This is the house of miracles. Time and time and time again, God, you're going to visit healing and the power of God in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's give God a big, big shout and clap. You guys are amazing. Do you know, tonight you can put into action what we heard today. You can bring somebody into the house of God. And I know, honestly, Pastor Joe and Nancy have gone to huge lengths to get me here. Like, it's a long flight, friends. But you know, there's no place I'd rather be. And we're going to stay and we're going to pray and we're going to fight for your miracle and your family and your friends. And I want you to come. Let's believe. And maybe, listen, maybe your friend doesn't come. But come and be a part of the miracle. And I just believe that something amazing is going to happen. I love C3 Trinity. You guys are amazing. And I'm going to pass it back to Pastor Joe, and I love you guys. We're going to continue to pray, and we've got that.
All right, come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah. You know, to me, the most amazing person in all that the stories that Andrew shared today is Lisa Mortimer. Lisa Mortimer, a 15-year-old student who went to the kid who was the biggest troublemaker, the biggest drinker, the kid who got the high the most times, the kid who came to school when he wanted to come to school, and when he did, he made trouble. She came to him. Little did she know that years later, God would be healing people through him, that people would get saved. I mean, over 100,000 people have come to Christ in his ministry. I mean, that's amazing. And so I want to be like Lisa Mortimer. I want to find those Andrew Kabbalas in my life and bring them. I want to find those guys that have been diagnosed with terminal cancer and bring them. I want to find those guys that are sick and hurt and bring them. You guys know somebody. You're related to them. You go to school with them. Or you work with them. You know them. And call them this afternoon. Invite them. Bring them back tonight. Because God's going to do something great. And so I want to just encourage you to be, look, say this to us. You can say this to me. I want to be like Lisa Mortimer. Yeah, I want to be like that. I want to bring someone. All right? 6 o'clock tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm coming. 6 o'clock tonight. Yeah. You can do better than that. Turn to him and say, I'm coming. 6 o'clock tonight. Yeah, you won't want to miss it. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. See you tonight.